right, good morning, everybody. It is May 11th, Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to everybody. And,
all the mothers, anyway.
Yeah. And today, one of the things a minister gets to do is a minister gets to warn people about false religion and things that aren't right. And so I'm going to do a little bit about that. And there's a... One of the things in our society, in our world, we have like secular religions that are like humanism. People, you know, humanism, and in humanism, man is his own savior. And there's a lot, and also you see in the Bible, a lot of the religious leaders in the Bible were quite often, you know, in the Old Testament and the New Testament, were basically false leaders. They weren't godly. And so the Bible warns us about stuff like this. But today I want to talk about the climate cult. You know, we get these, like, what was it, that Greta Thunberg, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. She comes out and says, "How dare you! You've ruined my childhood!" You know, and she basically says, "The world's going to be over in 10 years. Well, the 10 years comes and goes, and lo and behold, the world's still here. You know, it seems to me, I'm going to read you a verse later on, it says, you know, they're known by their fruit, and we don't follow false prophets. And a lot of these people that are saying the world's going to end, you know, it's like Chicken Little running around, the sky is falling. It's false prophets. Well, let me give you a little history. We have this thing called a thermometer. It was invented in 1867 by some guy called Fahrenheit. He invented the first thermometer, and they sort of got into wide acceptance and use along about the 1880s. So how do we know that things are getting warmer or colder before we had thermometers? How do we know what the temperature was? Oh, but we've been on this trend for, you know, we don't know what they were. Well, what the scientists do, they rely on tree rings. So say this thing here is a tree. So if I drill a tree ring from this side, it'll give me one set of information. The same tree, if I come in from this side, it might give me contradicting information. Now they assume that on warmer years, the tree ring will be larger, and on colder years, the tree ring will be narrower. Well, what if you have a wet year or a dry year? Wouldn't that affect the tree ring more than the temperature?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course it would. And then these scientists, they cherry pick which trees. They'll go and do a bunch of cores on trees. Then they'll pick the ones that fit their, oh, this one doesn't give me the information I need. And this one, oh, this one does. Now, what happens if the tree lost a large branch? Or what if it got attacked by insects? Or what if, you know, that will affect the tree ring more than the temperature? And so they're basing these things on the global warming, climate change, or whatever they call it this week. They're basing it on subjective and cherry-picked data. And we don't have, you know, we don't have a thermometer readings from 1700s or 1600s or 1000 AD or like, you know, we don't have them from the time Jesus Christ was alive. We don't have temperature readings. And if you do look at the science, somehow they've convinced people that CO2's been like this, and then all of a sudden it's way up here. It's been like this forever. Well, if you really look at the data, CO2 used to be a lot higher. There was a time when we had a lot more CO2 and a lot more oxygen, and like certain animals and certain insects and certain life forms were a lot bigger then. They could be bigger when they had more oxygen. But we're currently in a CO2 drought. It's gone up a little. If CO2, I'm going to give you a little scientific information here now. If CO2 gets below 150 parts per million, plants worldwide will die, the entire food chain will collapse, and basically it would be the end of life on Earth. I think what happened in the last ice age, it got supposedly down to 180 parts per million. Currently, we're at 400 parts per million. And they think, oh, it's terrible. It's going to cause all this devastation. Well, actually, 600 to 1,200 parts per million is optimal for plants. It's just, you research greenhouses. And like here in Colorado, they have these grow houses where they grow marijuana. And it's like, it's like marijuana is like the last thing in the world I'm interested in. But anyway, I digress. What they do in greenhouses, they will inject CO2 into there. They put it up to like 600, 800 parts per million in the greenhouse, and the plants do much better. One of the things we've seen since CO2 went up, like from whatever it was to like the 400 parts per million it is right now, you see deserts are starting to become green again, because when you CO2 levels go up higher, say that my hand is a leaf, the leaf has pores that it has to open to let in CO2. And if there's more CO2 in the air, it those pores stay open less. And the less they're open, the less water that plant will lose. And so plants can survive in dry climates better with high CO2 in the atmosphere. Now, we all know that it says in the Old Testament that if a prophet predicts something and it doesn't come to pass, that we don't respect that prophet. Well, there's a lot of false prophets in the climate cult. First of all, in the 1970s, some of us were around then, if you remember, they were predicting another ice age. They had TV documentaries. They had Time magazine on the cover, the coming ice age. Oh, we're all going to die. Oh, it's terrible. And then 10 years later, in the 1980s, they said that we got global warming. And by 2000, we'd have uncontrolled runaway global warming. They're saying the temperature chart would go up exponentially like a hockey stick on a graph. And they said snow would cease by 2000. Well, we're 25 years past 2000, and I don't know about you guys, but I had a lot of snow in my yard this year. And some of it was just a few weeks ago, about a month ago, I think, was our last snow, or a few weeks ago anyway. And so that's another failed prediction. And another thing that, if you look at the true science, that as CO2 does have a greenhouse effect. So if you add a little bit, like if you're 200 parts per million and you go up to 400, it'll start to do that. But as you start getting up to 800 and 1,000, the more CO2, eventually the greenhouse effect of CO2 flattens out. It doesn't grow exponentially into a runaway climate change. It eventually flattens out and has little or no effect. But they tell us the opposite. And then in the 2000s, they told us that climate change will cause nuclear wars. Well, you know what? We didn't have any nuclear wars so far in the 2000s.
And why would that even be relevant?
Well, that's what they said. They actually predicted that.
Exactly.
Then in 2006, they said Arctic ice will be gone by 2012. And humans will be extinct by 2023. Now, last time I looked at the calendar, we are in 2025. We're 2 years past 2023. And I don't know about you guys, but I'm not extinct yet. I don't think you guys are either. And as far as I know, that not only do we still have Arctic ice, like the Arctic ice is actually bigger than it was a few years ago. Arctic and Antarctic, there's more ice.
In fact, the Antarctic right now has higher levels than they've seen, like, since they started tracking it, I think.
Yeah, so they're you know, it's false predictions. And I'd go through this more and more items, but there was too many false predictions to list them all. I'd end up spending my whole hour just listing their false predictions. There's a lot of YouTube videos where people show the false predictions and how they didn't happen. Like Al Gore says, well, the poor polar bears are going to all... Well, there's about five times more polar bears. Well, maybe not five. Like three times more polar bears now than there were when Al Gore was born. So, and another thing, if you go to New York City in Times Square, they've got a doomsday clock. Ooh. Doomsday, and they say we've got, like, I think it now says there's like 6 years left before it gets so bad that we're just we won't be able to fix anything. And the what they want us to do is supposedly they want us to, we can't burn any fuel that puts off carbon dioxide. And they're telling us carbon dioxide is this terrible thing. Well, you know what? We're all animals, life forms that live on this planet, all life forms that live on this planet are carbon-based life forms. We're made of carbon, hydrogen, and oxygen. Without the carbon, we would cease to exist. We need carbon. Is every organic molecule contains carbon. That's part of what we are and who we are. Another thing they tell us is that you'll get this runaway sea level rise. Well, you notice we had that President Obama a few years ago, and he spent 8 years in office telling us about global warming and climate change. And when he retired, you'd think if he was concerned about sea level rising, he'd come to Colorado and live in the mountains where the sea level has to rise a lot to flood you out. No, he is in Massachusetts on Martha's Vineyard, right at sea level. If he really believed that stuff, if he said it all the time, if he really believed it, he wouldn't have bought a $13 million house at sea level.
Correct.
I mean, it's just common sense. And banks are very, very conservative. They will not loan you something if they wouldn't give you a 30-year mortgage on a house if they didn't think you had a good chance of paying it back. So these banks wouldn't loan money on 30-year mortgage on a piece of property that was going to be flooded in 10 years. If there was even a slight chance at that, they would not do that. Banks are very, very conservative. They want to get their money back. That's how they stay in business.
My parents bought a lot close to a creek.
Yeah.
And they couldn't build there because it was on a floodplain.
Yeah. My dad had a property in Ohio, but I was talking about the ocean, but the creeks will flood. And he had his house was up on this little hill, and he had this creek running through his property. And when the creek would overflow its banks, it was still a couple feet away from, it'd have to go several feet higher before it would flood his house. So, yeah, they won't let you build. They have maps. I know in architecture, they have maps, like what's the 100-year flood, what's the 75-year flood, or the 10-year flood. They won't let you build in an area that's going to flood. And another thing, they want us to switch to what they call green energy. And basically, all the alternative forms of energy are all two or three times the price of what a carbon-based fuel would be. And so really, if you really look at this, they don't really want to save the planet. They want to destroy the middle class, because one of the great ways you can take poor people, turn them into middle class people, is you give them really cheap energy, and then they can afford to do things. And so let's go to Romans chapter 1. Verse 25. Going to be flipping around what New Testament and Old Testament today. Got a lot of scriptures here. Romans. Got to go back a few pages here. Maybe I should put this in a PowerPoint or something, huh? Yeah, I don't think I will. Romans chapter 1, verse 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Now that word creature in this verse would be better translated creation. And one of the definitions of witchcraft is that they worship nature and worship Mother Nature. You know, there is no Mother Nature in the Bible. And we don't want to worship the creation. See, a lot of secular people think we're here to take care of the earth. No, God put the earth here to provide an environment for us. That's the way it was set up. Let's go to Genesis chapter 9. You know, while we're here, we do want to take care of the earth, you know, because I like to clean up my backyard and clean my house and things. It's good to take care of things. Nothing wrong with that. Chapter 9, verse 11. And this is after the flood. And God is promising the people at that time. He said, I will establish my covenant with you. Neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood. Neither shall there be any more flood to destroy the earth. See, there, the global warming people are telling us that the ice, all the ice is going to melt and then the earth's going to be flooded. What, they had that movie, what was it, Waterworld, where the whole world was earth, it was water, and there was no soil, and the guy was, he would go on his boat, and he was weird, and it was just a dumb movie, and yeah. Let's go to Matthew. So God promises he's not going to flood the earth. So that when they say that all the ice is going to melt, the earth's going to flood, and we're all going to drown, I guess living in Colorado, I'm still high enough either way, but I don't know. We're going to go on, in September, we're going to go on vacation to Massachusetts, and we're going to be right down there at sea level, and I won't be afraid of the ocean.
Matthew what?
Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. And it says, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them, verse 16, by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? You know, every plant brings forth the kind of fruit it's supposed to bring forth. Out in our yard, let's see, we got a raspberry bush, I got a blackberry bush, and I got a grapevine. And they all bring forth their own kind of fruit. They are only able to bring forth that kind of fruit. And evil false prophets are not able to bring forth good fruit. They can only false prophesy. And so the climates of doom, the prophets of climate doom, they are, when they false prophesy, that's all they can do. They can't tell the truth. Let me read the rest of this. Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, and a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. And a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. And every tree that bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. And see, I don't know if you can find, I was showing you several examples of the false prophecies of doom and gloom by the climate cult. And I don't know if there's a single one of those prophecies that ever came true. Maybe they accidentally got one. I don't know. I can't think of one. Deuteronomy 18:22. Here's another thing about false prophets. 18:22 says, when a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, and if the thing followeth not, nor come to pass, then that thing which the Lord hath not spoken, but the prophet hath spoken it presumptuously. And thou shalt not be afraid of him. Thou shalt not, in other words, we don't respect people that give forth false prophecy, false predictions, false whatever. If they say things are going to happen and they don't happen, then you don't respect them. You don't. You just realize they got some other agenda. You know, what are they going to do when that doomsday clock in Times Square finally gets down to zero and everything's still fine?
Yeah.
They'll probably reset it before then.
I worry more about the debt clock.
Yeah, that's a bigger one. Yeah. Well, you know, that's one of the great things that's happening in our country right now, yeah, is our current administration has slowed down the increase of the federal debt by 90%. You don't hear that on the mainstream news.
Right.
They don't tell you that stuff. They'll tell you lies like, oh, he's going after your Social Security and your Medicare. No, he's going to fix Social Security and Medicare so they stay solvent longer. That's what he's doing. But again, I'm digressing. That's a different subject that I don't want to get into today. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14. Because the devil lies. He's got a whole system of error. And here's one that I quote a lot. You guys can probably quote this word for word without even looking at it. And I go here a lot because it's true. Chapter 4, verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine. Oh, the sky is falling. Oh. We gotta quit burning oil. Let me finish reading that, then I'll read my better translation of that. More better. Yeah, I talk good, don't I? And carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men with cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. See, they're not just wrong. They're intentionally lying. And they're doing it. They're doing it with a purpose. The end is to deceive us. And a better translation of this from the interlinear would be that we may no longer be infants. See, little babies, they don't know what's going on. All they know is, I want to eat, I want to sleep, I want my diaper changed. That's about all they got going on. Occasionally they wake up and smile at you, you know. And no longer be infants, being tossed and carried about by every wind of the teaching and the sleight of men, in craftiness with a view to the systematizing of error. If ever there was a system of error, it's the climate cult. Let's go to Colossians, just a few pages over, chapter 2, verse 8. Chapter 2, verse 8. I'm in Philippians. I was going to say, that's not the verse I'm looking for. It's a good verse in Philippians 2, 8, but it doesn't pertain to what I'm talking about here. Verse chapter 2, verse 8, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men and the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. Let's go to 1 John chapter 3, verse 7. Chapter 3, verse 7, it says, little children, you know, to God we're still little kids. That's why sometimes we do foolish things, and we're not always smart, but we try. God knows our heart. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. So we don't. The first part of the verse is what I'm interested in. Don't let any man deceive you. The Old Testament, 2 Chronicles 36, start in verse 15. Give you guys fingers a workout here. 2 Chronicles 36, 15. There we go. And the Lord God of their fathers sent them by his messengers, rising up betimes and sending, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. So God sent him messengers. God will send messengers to you that'll send deliver a godly message. In the New Testament, you got apostles. Apostles is somebody that's sent to deliver a message. Jesus Christ was our greatest apostle. Then you also have, it says we're all ambassadors. An ambassador is one sent to deliver a message. Like if I go to the president and he says, Jeff, I want you to be the ambassador to Argentina. Then I would go to Argentina and I would represent our country in Argentina, and I would speak what our country asked me to speak. But verse 16 here, but they mocked the messengers of God and despised his words. This is a lot of people, they mock God. Like I read you that verse about how God won't flood the earth anymore, and some people, they hear me say that, and they say, they'd mock me. They'd say, well, you believe in Noah and the flood? Oh my God, you believe that? They mock us. You believe God will take care of you? Well, yeah, he will. Our God's bigger than your God. What do you guys got? Climate prophets? They have false prophecies every couple years? No thanks, buddy. I don't want that stuff. I'll take God's messengers. But they mocked the messengers of God and despised his word and misused his prophets, until the wrath of the Lord rose against those people and there was no remedy. So, you know, those people will get their judgment. There's a day coming in the book of Revelation, and it won't be pretty for them. 1 Timothy. Okay, we're in the first part of the Bible. Let's go to the back of the Bible. So I guess if you had kids, and you had two kids, you call them both Timothy, you call one 1 Timothy and one 2 Timothy, is that how that works? Huh. Or you could just give them different names. Yeah. That's what most people do.
Unless you're George Foreman.
Yeah. And then you, yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did that, didn't he?
He named all his kids the same.
Yeah, well, he was, yeah, I think he got hit in the head too many times. All right, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 4. Oh, I'm in 2 Timothy. Let's go back to 1 Timothy. See, I'm talking about the two Timothys, and I can't keep them straight. So I'm not a good example here, am I? Verse 4, neither give heed to fables. See, that's what this stuff is fables. And endless genealogies. It's like when the... you know, people had mythology in the old days. They would believe the myth of Zeus or Mars or the Greek mythology or the Egyptian mythology or whatever. And they'd have their... And see, it's not mythology. An endless genealogy which minister questions rather than godly edifying. All right. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 6, same book here, chapter 6, verse 20. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. In other words, keep the word in your heart, Timothy, avoiding profane and vain babblings and the endless and the oppositions of science, falsely so-called. See, they had false science back then, too. See, this that global warming, it's not false. Remember they told us during the pandemic, follow the science?
Yeah.
Well, if you follow the science from the pandemic, you see that the shots didn't stop you from getting the virus. They didn't stop you from transmitting the virus, and they made you much more likely to get heart attacks and other bad things. So it was, follow the science. It was false. All right, one last scripture, or no, two more. Jeremiah. Isaiah, Jeremiah, chapter 23. I have a friend on Facebook, his first name is Jeremiah.
You said 23?
23, 16, yes. Lots of pages here. 23:16. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. He's talking about false prophets. They make you vain. They speak a vision out of their own heart and not out of the mouth of the Lord. And same book here, chapter 29, verse 8. 29, verse 8. For thus saith the Lord God of the host of Israel, thus saith the Lord of the hosts of the God of Israel, let not your prophets and your diviners that be in the midst of you deceive you, neither hearken to your dreams which have caused you to dream. In other words, don't follow the false prophets. And then, you know, they got their divinations and their dreams and their whatever prophecies and whatever they want to call it. We don't hearken to them. We hearken to the word of God. God says he made the earth to take care of us. He says he's not going to let it flood again. He's not going to let us be in some situation that's so bad and so evil that we're all going to perish. You know, and don't regard Chicken Little because the sky is not falling. I mean, the stuff is that ludicrous. I mean, literally, though, the climate is always changing. Climate doesn't stay the same. It's getting warmer or it's getting colder. It doesn't, you know, year by year, it's not identical. There are short-term trends. There are long-term trends. And remember, you know, the thermometers only go back, 150 years. It's interesting. I put little thermometers around my house. I get a thermometer, and I think the other one's called a hydrometer. One gives you the temperature, the other gives you humidity. And I had these ones, and they were bought from different stores, and they were 2 degrees apart. One would say it's 68 in here, and one would say it's 70. And I go, well, which one of these is right? Then I go to look at the thermostat on the wall, connected my thermos, my furnace, and that would say a third number. And so it's like, well, you know, if you're taking all these readings and you're doing the science and you're trying to predict what the temperature and the climate's going to be 100 years from now, and they somehow predict it within a tenth of a degree, how do they, which reading are you taking? I mean, which one is the right one in my house? And then, it's like if I look at today's weather, and they might say, oh, it's going to get up to 80. Well, what if it gets up to 83? They were 3 degrees off. And that's only predicting today's temperature, not 100 years from now. So, you know, it's like you take all that stuff with a grain of salt. And I used to work at a company where we would do power plants. We would do nuclear, and we would do coal plants and all that stuff. And they do incredible measures, you know, to produce energy at a reasonable cost. And like the coal, it's like people think of coal, when you burn coal, you get all this black smoke. Well, they would have this incredible filtration system and everything where it came out white smoke, and they would 80-90% of all the harmful, like, it's not the carbon, there's other harmful things in the smoke, and I can't think of what they, you know, no, it's other things, but it doesn't matter. But there's harmful chemicals that are in there that they filter out that they don't release into the atmosphere. And so they do a great job with this stuff. And, you know, in any form of energy, there can be upsides and downsides. But a lot of the green energy, like the wind stuff, wind turbines literally cause global warming, because you got this big thing and this turbine up top, it's sitting on a pole. That turbine, all the friction in the turbine makes that warmer. The heat goes down the pole. And they, you can literally take the temperature at the base of that thing, and it'll literally be a few degrees warmer than it would be like a mile away. And so those things, and plus they kill all sorts of birds. And the solar panels and a lot of that stuff is, they're made with chemicals, and a lot of, with solar you need batteries, and a lot of those batteries have harmful chemicals. There's a book I have, what's it called, I forget the name of it, but it documents how poor black African children are being used, and they do this terrible, dangerous labor to mine the minerals we need for our batteries so we can have all this green energy, electricity. And I forget the name. Do you remember the name of that?
I can get the book itself.
Okay. If you want to.
Yeah, they get the lithium out.
Yeah, and other and so they basically it's terrible what they do to these poor African children, and they're taking advantage of the situation. In anyway, she's gonna go get the book here. But again, so we don't follow false prophets. We don't follow the prophets of doom. And when people predict something and it doesn't happen, we don't follow that. And I think that's about all I had to say. Diane will be back in a minute with the book here.
Cobalt Red.
Cobalt Red. Here we go. Yeah. This is a good book. Here it is. Cobalt Red. Oh, it says backwards on my screen because I got my camera reversed. But yeah, and it's an expose of what's going on in the Democrat Republic of Congo by cobalt mining, and the terrible. It's horrible what these corporations go in there and do to these poor little black kids, and it's slave labor. Of children. I mean, it's terrible. Children should have a childhood. They shouldn't have to be working dangerous jobs. I mean, that's just wrong. So anyway, Heavenly Father, I'm going to close with prayer, and then we will open it up for people to talk. So Heavenly Father, thank you for your word today, and thank you that we don't have to be deceived by every wind of doctrine and whatever the new thing is that's blowing around. And quite often the new thing is just a new lie. But Father, thank you that you always take care of us. You protect us from any catastrophic event that would destroy our earth. You protect us from the asteroids in space. You protect us from runaway global temperature extremes, whether it be hot or cold. That you provide an environment for us to live. And also, Father, I thank you that there will be a new heaven and new earth, and we'll get new spiritual bodies. And we're looking forward to that, Father. And I thank you for this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.